There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Thursday. 2 hours packed full of live local talk. A lot of stuff happening on today's show. I'm excited about today's show. Now, the venue, not like yesterday when we were doing the show from the USS Alabama there on the Fantail, but this is still a good day, pretty outside, and we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. But still, sorry, not as cool as doing it from the battleship, which hopefully we'll do again very, very soon. All right, coming up on the show today, lots of subjects here locally, state-wise, and nationally. All right, we'll be in all three. Coming up at 12:30, Mobile County Commissioner and candidate for AL1, House Representative Jerry Carl is going to join us and talk about this annexation discussion, what it means for the county, for District 3, or Mobile County at large, versus what it means for the city. We've talked a lot about the city's perspective. What about the county's perspective? We'll get into that coming up at 12:30. So that's on our list. Also in hour number two, Attorney General Steve Marshall will join us. He's going to talk a little bit about National Crime Victims' Rights Week. Of course, we discussed that last week with District Attorney Ashley Rich. He'll talk about that. Also, the Pardons and Paroles Board reform legislation and this ethics law. What a thing this has been today. We'll get into the latest discussion here on the Alabama ethics law. The amendment, you know, the last time they passed the ethics law, they told us it was great. It was perfect. Right. This is why the Republicans came in. They got control and they were passing this ethics law. And it was a good thing. And a lot of us looked at it and said, yeah, that's pretty good. Now they said, well, maybe it's a little too much. A little too much. So we'll talk about that. But one of the big issues I want to talk about with the Attorney General is, if you didn't catch it earlier this week, AG's office raided two. What do you call the places? Bingo halls. Yeah, one of them was called a charity bingo hall up in Jefferson County. Now, here we go again. Is this not a flashback to times of yore with the raids on the bingo halls and seizing the machines, and then they go store them in a storage unit somewhere, and then they got to wait for some ruling by the judge? Well, we're back to this again, and does this have anything to do with, I would say, dueling bills in Montgomery on Lotto? One that gives paramutual betting sites, places like those charity bingo halls, the ability to run a digital lotto game. And then the other bill, All Britain's bill, that would not have that. We'll get into that with the Attorney General when he joins us at 1:30. Also, we'll talk about some more state news. As a couple, I mean, they were busy today. Must be because, of course, today, usually the members of the legislature there Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And so maybe because we have a pretty, you know, pretty Friday ahead or something like that, they're trying to get out. But they're moving bills or squashing bills pretty quickly today. The bill to privatize liquor sales in the state of Alabama rejected again. This is Arthur Orr's bill. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. And, of course, the president today jumping in on what Attorney General William Barr said yesterday about spying. If you didn't catch this, this was part of the testimony yesterday. And Attorney General Barr had talked about a whole bunch. This wasn't the entirety of the testimony yesterday. But when he was pressed on this question of spying, he said in his own words that spying did occur. Here's Attorney General William Barr yesterday.
I think spying on a
political campaign is a big deal. I'm not suggesting that those rules were violated, but I think it's important to look at that. And I'm not talking about the FBI necessarily, but intelligence agencies more broadly.
So you're not suggesting, though, that spying occurred?
I don't. I guess you could. I think there was a spying did occur. Yes, I think spying did occur.
Now, this is what the president had been talking about way back when. He had a chance to comment on it about 10, 20 minutes ago. We'll try to get you that audio coming up and get your take on that as well as we move on through this Thursday edition of Midday Mobile. All right, so those items are on the list. So let's add a few more things to the list as well. Number one, sometime between now and 2 o'clock, your chance at Jim Gaffigan tickets. Jim Gaffigan is coming to the amphitheater at the Wharf. That show coming up Saturday, May 11th. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com or Wharf box office, but you have a chance to win those tickets sometime between now and 2 right here on Midday Mobile. So be ready for that, and you'll just use the phone number, which hopefully you already have this phone number in your contacts list right there on your smartphone. But if not, let's add it together. Let's add it. FM Talk 106.5, phone number 343-0106. If y'all aren't from around here, 251-343-0106. All right, so sometime between now and 2, we'll give those tickets away. Also, talk a bit about South Sound's Music Festival. Gets cranked up tomorrow downtown. That's a cool event. And A-Day is going to be on Saturday here at FM Talk 106.5. We'll talk more about preseason football, right? All right, so as we head to the news break, though, I want to give you something else to worry about in your life. It's like you needed it. Here we go. A story, Bloomberg posted the story, and a lot of people are reporting what Bloomberg did. So let's run through a story from our news partners at WKRG about the bigger story over at Bloomberg.com, that Amazon has admitted that thousands of recordings from Alexa are being analyzed and fed back into their software. Amazon admitting their workers listen in on thousands of, you know who, conversations. As many as 1,000 recordings a day are reviewed by workers all over the world, says Amazon. I'll give you the details on what to worry about when we get back. All right, 12:13, we'll run the news, and then we're coming back. More of Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
We'll get to that clip from President Trump in just a second, plus more of the what they're listening to through your Alexa unit at Amazon, which probably just turned on your Alexa, but she's listening anyway, so what do we really care, right? At 12:17, and just about 10 minutes away, we have about 14 minutes away from Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl joining us, and we'll talk about annexation issues from the county's perspective. That's coming up in just a little bit. Hey, I saw a stat from our friends at Harry's. You know, the average guy will spend 3,000 hours of his lifetime shaving. So don't waste 4 months of your life overpaying for poor performing razors. Invest that time in Harry's quality shaving supplies at a fair price. I've been telling you for years about the price. Price is great, but let me back up a second. The first part is the shave is great. And then beyond that, yeah, how about saving that 50% of what you're paying right now at the grocery store or the pharmacy when you buy those replacement blades? And on top of that, the convenience of having those blades show up at the house, it's just like a trifecta of goodness. And you can check it out now at the lowest amount of money to get in that I've ever seen. And I've been talking about Harry's for years and years and years. You can join the 10 million of us who have tried Harry's. Right now, special offer, you get the 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover. Just $3 plus free shipping when you use my code MOBILE at harrys.com. Limited time offer, and it's only for y'all listening to the show that are a new customer with Harry's. You'll get $5 off that trial set from Harry's when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. That means you get the razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all just $3 Free shipping as well when you use code MOBILE at Harry's.com. So go to Harry's.com today. Join the 10 million of us who are shaving with Harry's and use that code MOBILE at checkout to claim your offer. And let them know I sent you. Help support Midday Mobile. All right, 1220. Here it is, the clip I mentioned a second ago. As the president was doing a presser on a handful of things and also talked about North Korea, but he was asked about Assange, but then he got into the spying issue as well. Here it is.
Think about WikiLeaks. It's not my thing. And I know there is something having to do with Julian Assange. I've been seeing what's happened with Assange, and that will be a determination, I would imagine, mostly by the Attorney General, who's doing an excellent job. So he'll be making a determination. I know nothing really about him. It's not my deal in life.
What would you like to see happen?
I don't really have any opinion. I know the Attorney General will be involved in that, and he'll make a decision. Okay. Yes, I am. I think what he said was absolutely true. There was absolutely spying into my campaign. I'll go a step further. In my opinion, it was illegal spying, unprecedented spying, and something that should never be allowed to happen in our country again. And I think his answer was actually a very accurate one, and a lot of people saw that.
All right, so there's the clip from just about 10, 15 minutes ago from the president. And put this with the what Attorney General Barr had to say yesterday. And I, like I said this morning, though, I think this is extremely interesting. You have in front, this is not like Barr saying this is a flippant political comment, because here he was in front of the entirety of the committee listening to his testimony. He's on record with this, and he even pauses, thinks about it, and then comes back and doubles down, to be cliche, on the fact that he believes spying was there. On the flip side, as I always do, I would measure and govern your reaction if you're somebody who says, okay, this confirms everything the president told us is true. Now, through the eyes of the president, it could seem that way. I mean, obviously, it seems like there was spying going on the president. But I think the key to the whole thing, and this is what we'll find, I think Barr will be a fair arbiter of this. How did that spying, how did that what is the term they're using, Democrats? Surveilling. How did that come about? And why I think that's important, and hopefully we'll get that answer. Did these elements, and whether you think it's directly orchestrated through former President Obama or some entity within, did they say, hey, let's go spy on the Trump campaign? Okay, that's one extreme. And if that is, that's what a lot of people have been saying is happening or happened. That's what the president said had happened. And that, I think, will be beyond the pale. If there was a move to say, let's go spy on this campaign because we want to prevent the person that people are going to choose here, we're going to prevent this person from being president, okay? That is the worst situation for our republic, and the president is intimating that. I would argue, though, let's just wait to see what Barr says, and don't get ahead of this, because is it a situation where they can prove that they were in an active investigation, surveillance, or spying of some Russian collusion that brings them to the campaign? I don't know that they can do that, and I don't know what, you know, Barr has seen things that none of us have seen, other than the people that worked on the Mueller investigation. So he's seen things we haven't. You could tell he absolutely did double down on his assertion that spying went on against the Trump campaign. He didn't blast off and say exactly with what motivation. He even said, when asked about the FBI, he said it may not be the FBI, other intelligence gathering groups or whatever. He left it fairly open, which tells me there are still some questions out there and maybe some T's not crossed and some I's not dotted. So I think we absolutely have something that has to be investigated here, and what this means if you have this spying, and I want to use the surveilling, of a campaign going on. Number one question I would have is, number one, who called for it? Okay, who called for it? And people, you know, have said immediately, well, it was former President Obama calling for it. Maybe not. We got to see that, because there are different entities that could have been working, you know. Now, by law, they should have been working under what the president, then Obama, wanted. Doesn't mean it happened that way. But number two here, let's see the process that got them to investigate and spy on the Trump campaign. And I think that's going to be one of the more interesting takeaways as we go forward. I think what Barr had to say yesterday I think it's big. I think it's very big. I would just caution on the other side, just like you see so many on the left have run out to impugn. They loved Barr, you know, before. Now they hate Barr. I think that's obviously a knee-jerk reaction. At the same time, the knee-jerk reaction that I want to have, the low-hanging fruit that I want to grab and and say, bam, there it is. It was absolutely orchestrated by former President Obama, and it was specifically hit on the Trump campaign. Yeah, you know, that information is not out yet, if it's there at all. So I would say just moderate and measure a little bit in this. But if you, this is one of the more, I'd say, interesting is not even the right word. Thought compelling things that have come out of Washington in a while is that testimony yesterday from Attorney General Barr. All right, I want to land the plane on the story we started earlier, and I don't know if when I say Alexa, if I just got people having the machines come on in their house, but this report out by Bloomberg says Amazon has admitted that thousands of recordings from Alexas were analyzed by staff and transcribed before being fed back into the software. Amazon says as many as 1,000 recordings a day are reviewed by workers all over the world in countries including Romania, India, and Costa Rica. And we'll come back to that in a second. Amazon did clarify that, quote, an extremely small sample of Alexa's voice recordings are analyzed by staff to improve the customer experience, end quote. Said, for example, this information helps us train our speech recognition and natural language understanding systems so Alexa can better understand your request and ensure the service works well for everyone. Amazon told Bloomberg that it has procedures in place and procedures in places, in quotes, for workers to follow when they hear something distressing. Like, think about all the things you could hear that are distressing, and some of those are listed in the full Bloomberg story. A company confirmed that it does not use recordings as part of its work to improve Alexa's ability to understand human language and speech patterns, but it has a strict security system in place to keep user data safe. All right, let me back up here. So, if the story here is that they are taking what we say and recording it, listening to it, and recording it, because if they're going to feed it back into the machine, they have to record it, right? So you're talking, it's picking up, it's listening all the time, it makes this recording, and then they're putting it back into the machine to help it better understand. Well, first of all, they say it's reviewed by workers and then put back in the machine. I would guess the biggest use of this device, and I'll quit saying her name if it's driving you crazy there, the biggest use of this device probably is going to be by nationality, which country per capita, it'd probably be the United States, right? Okay. Just a guess. I don't have that fact in front of me. Maybe it's detailed further in the Bloomberg story where I didn't see. But if they are saying that it's the United States has more of these recordings per day, they are reviewing what you said in Romania, India, and Costa Rica. Okay. And that's where they're going to put this information back into the system to make the system more responsive. Dalton, you can check. And now I will say this. It's you can look at all three countries listed here. Plenty of people that speak English as a second language there, because it's the language of commerce and it's smart to do. But understanding nuance and subtlety in a point to try to make AI more intelligent. Do you want English speakers to have what they're saying reviewed and fed back into the system from people in Romania, India, and Costa Rica? That stood out to me in this story. Now, I mean, it's the creepy confirmation of the, hey, they're listening to you thing. But the fact that in the Bloomberg story, it added this way. It said, it's in Romania, India, Costa Rica, and Boston. So I would argue, too, there's another place where you don't have native English speakers there in Boston. They didn't say the United States. It's very funny because they list, nations. Costa Rica, India, Romania, and Boston, like the country of Boston. So, yeah, they're admitting they're listening to it. They said they have zero tolerance policy for abuse. The employees that get to hear what you're saying don't share it and all this kind of stuff. But it's out there. I'll put the story out on Twitter. You can look through it and maybe even laugh when it lists the four places as being Romania, India, Costa Rica, in Boston. And I would argue none of those places speak the same English we do here in South Alabama. All right, 1228 FM Talk 106.5. Coming up, we'll talk to Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl, also candidate AL1, and we will get into, we've talked a bunch here recently. Now, I talked to Commissioner Carl in the past about what annexation, what these issues could mean for District 3, where he is, but the entirety of Mobile County. But lately, we've been really looking at it from the city of Mobile perspective. And I want to get the balance from the outside. I know so many of y'all look at the text line every day. I get people chiming in from in the county and in the city. You've got questions. I think there's a lot of questions out there when it comes to what green lights somebody being annexed in. Remember what happened on Tuesday with Darby Creek being annexed into the city of Mobile was abnormal in the fact that it did not have, if you say in the history of Mobile, is abnormal in the fact that it didn't have a big retail component. Okay, it had zero retail component. And we had Mobile City Councilman John Williams on the show the other day who said in so many words, and I'm paraphrasing, but I think I'm pretty close here, that don't get used to this. It's kind of a one-off, because if a neighborhood isn't attached to something that gives a bigger tax base, like a retail, like an individual business or a strip mall or whatever it would be, that it has a lot bigger challenge, and that Darby Creek was just a break even, maybe a few dollars to the city bringing them in, but that might not be the case going forward. So what does that mean? What does it mean for the people in the county that don't, hey, say your neighborhood doesn't have the tax base that gets the attention of the city, and you all agree that you want to be annexed in, but the city goes, yeah, you know, maybe not. What does it mean for people in the county? What happens here if, like the bill we talked about yesterday, passes in Montgomery, and the pressures of municipalities to offer police jurisdiction, to offer fire protection, completely go away? What does it mean for people in all 67 counties of Alabama? But specifically, we'll talk about it for Mobile County as we talk to Commissioner Jerry Carl next, right here on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1235, FM Talk 106.5. This texture says Alexa doesn't like Southern accents, so mine is sitting in the junk drawer. It's just interesting, though, if you go through that Bloomberg story I linked on Twitter, the four places in the country, or actually on the planet, where they're deciding, you know, what we say and what needs to be pushed back into the system to make it more responsive. That would be Romania, India, Costa Rica, and Boston. And all four places don't, you know, they're not native speakers of English, right? But just, I'm waiting for somebody from Beantown to, like, call me ripping mad or something. All right. 1235 FM Talk 106.5. I mentioned we get back into the discussion of the annexation. And lately here, of course, it is Darby Creek, the neighborhood annexed into the city of Mobile from in the county. And we've talked about it for quite a while from the city's perspective lately, but it's good to have Mobile County Commissioner District 3, Jerry Carl, in studio, also running for AL1, to talk more about, from the county's perspective, what this all means. Thanks for being in.
Great to be here. I got a little cold, so if I sound a little strange, I'm fighting a cold.
You'd be one of about, I don't know, about 40% of folks out there, cold or allergies or something going on.
Yeah, I think it's allergies. I dodged the flu, but I couldn't get away from the allergies.
Oh, they have found you. Let's talk about what, this is not brand new. You have been talking about this with me for some length of time, that it was coming. You've looked at it in issues for fire, for people, for right. Police jurisdiction for people. And it's a situation where, to be honest with you, till these stories came up, Jerry, I didn't realize this wasn't a thing. You know, when you kind of live somewhere, I was in Southwest Alabama, I was used to this idea of police jurisdictions and fire jurisdictions extending beyond city limits. Then I started researching this. This is not common practice everywhere in the country.
No, but when the city started talking about pulling back some services in this 5-mile district, it was at one time it was 5 miles, and it got moved back to 3. You know, we started having to jockey to figure out how to help on the volunteer fire department side, because right. County government was never set up for fire. We have no fire. We have nothing to do with fire.
Right. On law enforcement, you have the sheriff.
Right.
But
on the fire side, nothing. What we do is we do collect, through the license commission, we do collect a fee for the fire district, and we just in turn give that money back to them. We're just the accounting side of it. So we know very little about fire other than helping collect money. So when these holes started coming up, and I refer to them as holes, and they're fire districts that have never been formed. So they,
because they didn't have to be, right?
Well, chances are that this 1 mile area back in the 20s probably was one big large pecan plantation or
right.
something. It wasn't. It may have just been a single owner, and no one really gave much thought. No one's looked at it. The city has been providing service there, and the city is still saying, and they will continue to say, that they are providing services there, and they will provide services there. The mayor has no intentions of pulling out, but what the mayor is trying to do is encourage, not through me, but this was some of his early conversations, to get people thinking about what if, you know, what if the city pulls out? What if, you know, you've got to get independent and are figure out what you want to do. Annexation is never a popular issue.
Right.
A lot of people that live in these areas don't want to be annexed in. I understand. I live out almost Mississippi for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot that do. The Darby Creek, I had zero involvement in. I want to go back and look at it because obviously they did everything right.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have 100% participation in that neighborhood. It does abut to the city itself. It's across the street. Obviously, Solly Road is the line. So it just worked perfect for Solly. So I mean for Darby Creek. So they were taken in to the city.
But that is not the situation for every area that abuts the city limits now. Or the, you know, there's a lot of different situations. I mean, Darby Creek, you said, was like kind of a perfect storm. But
yeah,
not all neighborhoods are like that.
Well, I agree. I mean, you take one as big as Smithfield. Do you think mm-hmm. Smithfield's going to have 100% participation? I really doubt it.
You can't get 100% of people to agree that the sun rises in the east sometimes. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Well, I've got a dirt road that we've been trying to get 100% participation on. There's one holdout, and he's just being angry and what he is because he didn't have to use it.
So without that 100% participation.
Yeah, there's nothing I can do to help them.
But the pressure, I think, gets turned up here. And I'm not saying that they're going to just all of a sudden tomorrow not be covering fire in those places, but it's coming. I mean, the message is being telegraphed, right? That this is coming, that there's going to be a pullback and a pullback and a pullback on services offered outside city limits.
It certainly does not work to the mayor's political benefit to pull back or pull out. So, you know, the mayor's trying to encourage these people to get in this district, to get independent, figure out what they want to do. If they want to join the city, you know, obviously that's a city council's choice, not mm-hmm. a mayor's choice,
right?
Ultimately. And the system's set up there for a reason. If they want to start their own fire. The first meeting I had, I've been told by people I should have just ignored it, knowing that I was going to not be here in a year and a half. I hope to be in Washington.
Right.
And just ignore it and let it go away. But I can't leave office knowing that I'm leaving this bomb behind. I can't. That's just not in my DNA. I have to try to fix it
mm-hmm.
or make everyone aware of it. And if everybody's fine with ignoring it, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. That is an option.
That's the third choice, right?
Well, but that
yes,
is an
no,
option.
Or ignore it. Yes.
Well, but the first meeting brought out a lot of people that were angry, and a lot of people woke up. They put these three committees together on their own.
Mm-hmm.
These three committees did the research. They put all the numbers together, the pros and the cons. This last meeting that we had, I was invited. It wasn't my meeting. I didn't hold it. I was
right.
invited to come. I did come. I introduced I opened up, and I sat down and listened. And all three options were laid out. They did a vote on the way out. I think it was in the high 60s. I want to say 68%, but I could be off 1 or 2%. Voted for annexation. And the only reason they did that vote was to get a feel for the people in the room and what they were thinking. Nothing.
It wasn't binding or anything.
Nothing about that is. So what's the next step? It all falls on these committees and what they're going to do. I don't think the city wants that entire area, even if it could be done. There's just a lot of ifs.
Well, and let's break this down further, though. What's a question? You mentioned the county's never been in the fire. Fire business, right? Obviously, on law enforcement, the sheriff, and I want to get into the sheriff situation in a second there, but on fire, so the solution is you have these volunteer fire departments. I'm thinking about probably one of the more famous ones here, Seven Hills.
Right.
Okay. the idea would be if other groups said, okay, well, we're not going to be under this fire service, and they're contiguous somehow to the current Seven Hills Fire Department, and I know there are other volunteers, fire departments, they would be brought into that volunteer fire department? Is that how, and then the money would go to that volunteer fire department? How does that work?
Okay, if there's a piece, let's say, well, I don't want to say exactly where, but if there's a piece of this uncovered district that wants to join the Seven Hills Fire Department, and the important part of that is, does Seven Hills actually want them?
Well, that's the question. Yeah, is it a two-way street? Do they have to, number one, say?
They have to be accepted by the Seven Hills Board of Directors.
Okay.
Originally, I talked to the Seven Hills Board of Directors about taking this entire piece, and I would find a way of helping them build a fire station, because the key is you have to have a fire station within 5 miles of your house, or your rating on your fire goes down.
Right.
Or, I'm sorry, it goes up, not down.
Yeah, it costs you more.
Right. And so at Seven Hills, at the last minute, decided not to. So that's when we had to fall back to, okay, what are we going to do here now? So, we have all the prices to put a volunteer fire department together. It's expensive. It can be done.
It seems to me, and this is stuff you do all the time, so I'm going to throw this up. Maybe you can tell me yay or nay. It seems to me that making currently existing volunteer fire departments bigger, with bringing other groups in and that funding coming to that volunteer fire department, making that district bigger, I know about the 5 mile thing, but making them bigger would be more cost effective than starting a whole bunch of new volunteer fire departments.
But you have to remember, a volunteer fire department's all volunteer.
Yeah, but you have to have a building, you have to have engines, you have to have...
Well, I understand that, but the hard part...
It costs money.
It's not a money issue, it's a people issue. It's volunteers, because you and I, neither one want to get up at 2:30 in the morning to go take care of someone that's sick in their home and then go show up for work at 6 o'clock.
True.
So... It's a people issue, and the majority of the fire service in America is covered by volunteer fire departments. Most people don't realize that.
Yeah, it is, and it's a different part of this discussion, because I want to take a call here, but the other part of it is on the policing side, law enforcement side, the sheriff's department's there, but the sheriff's department's also saying, hey, I'm going to need a whole bunch of deputies beyond what I have now to be able to police those areas that will now be my responsibility and not part of the PJ for Mobile.
And as you well know, with the attitude towards the law enforcement right now, it's hard to get people to get into law enforcement. And we're having to offer bonuses and stuff that we've never heard of in the past. So for Sheriff Cochran to take that over, obviously that's his call and his falls under his domain. That can be done. It just... commission would have
seems like that mechanism is a little, even though you'd have to agree to it's going to spend more money in these things.
Sure.
At least there that mechanism set up versus what you're saying on the fire side, something completely different, because you have these volunteer, and by definition these are volunteers.
But it works very well.
All right, let's go to the phones and grab some calls here. Fred is in Mobile, and you're on with Commissioner Carl.
Hello, Sean, and hello, Jerry. This is Freddie Wheeler.
Hey, Freddie.
I'm doing good. I just want to say, first of all, I appreciate that you did what you did. I mean, I live in Carrington Place subdivision off of Cottage Hill, so I appreciate what you did and how you did it.
Thank you, sir.
Coming out of and speaking a little bit about annexation, there's three ways to annex in the state of Alabama. One is through legislation. The other is by 100% of property owners agreement, such as they did in Darby Creek, and the third way is by vote. So those are the three methods that you can annex into the city. Now, once you do that, then you start a process where you have to start fact-finding and gathering information, and that's what our committee has been faced with, is we've been gathering data and trying to take and sort out the facts relative to sort out the rumors. One such rumor that we're trying to quash is people saying, well, if the city comes in, you're going to be forced to go city sewer. That's not true. What I found out through Mobile Area Water Works and Sewer Service is that there is a state law, health code, that says if you're on septic system and your septic tank breaks down, needs repair, then you are required, if there's a connection available, to switch over to sewer service. So that is how that works. And it has nothing to do with the city water or a city forcing you into doing something that you don't want to do. So that's really what our committee is formed to do, is kind of present facts relative to annexation and not trying to take and really get into how fire districts are formed. That's somebody else's committee. Or how there's a committee for status quo, which is do nothing, and I can't believe there's a committee for do nothing.
I want to be on that committee, Freddie. Can I be on the do nothing committee? We'll just have meetings and we'll have cookies and some punch and not have a bunch of work to do. What is the feeling? What are you hearing around areas of the county? I mean, are people wanting to annex in? Are people wanting to stay in the county? Obviously, there's a gazillion different opinions, but are you getting some majority?
Well, okay. So what we did in the meeting that Jerry, the last meeting that Jerry was at, is we took a straw poll, which was to kind of give us an idea of which way we needed to take and as a community or an area needed to take and flow to take and do what we had to do. Well, the vote was almost actually closer to 70% than it was 68, but 68 is close enough to 70, but it kind of gives us a direction, and our committee come out of being a subcommittee into being a for annexation committee. So that said, is that what we found out now is that there are communities that are further out along the edge in Saddlebrook and areas that are outlying from the Dawes area, say from between Solly Road and Dawes Road. That area there tends to be more solidly towards asking to be annexed into the city. Well, further out, the people out there want us to remain in the country.
Well, that kind of makes sense, I guess, where people are sitting and how far out they are. And, Freddie, I got to run to the news break, but I appreciate you checking in, and we'll be talking more about this when we get back. More with Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl. Yeah, we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5.
With Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:52, FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad you're here. Hey, another great event tonight coming up at Cottage Hill Package. Actually, tomorrow night, cigar event tomorrow night. And your chance to come out and, number one, sample some of the goodies and get some great deals on cigars. And at the same time, let me give you another tease here. As the Manis family does at these events they have on, like, Thursday nights and on Friday nights, they do food. And the Cuban cooking from the Manis family is out of this world, man. It is. Reyes. Have you ever had Reyes Cuban cooking? You've got to have this, Ed. And so to pair it, I know they would say, Sean, let's talk about the cigars. Okay. The cigars are happening, right? You've got the My Father Cigar event that goes on tomorrow night from 6 to 9 p.m. in the lounge in the back of Cottage Hill Package. You can come out and ask all the questions about these My Father cigars, because they're going to have the rep there, and also probably get some swag, stickers and hats and all that kind of cool stuff. They also have cigar deals for you tomorrow night. You buy 3 cigars, you get 1 free. Buy 20 cigars, get 4 free. Also, you can get one of those cigar cutters and My Father Cigars t-shirt at a 10% discount. But back to the food. You'll have that, and you also have some fantastic Cuban cooking from the family. It's just great. It's a family spot. It's a place to dad and the boys are all there, and you kind of fit in. You know, it's fun. It's laid back, and it's a chance to check out these cigars. And they do it for craft beers and for wine, different nights, different events. You can go online and check that out through their website or their Facebook page, which is CottageHillPackage.com, or like them on Facebook at Cottage Hill Package. But make sure you check them out in person. That's the tastiest way to do it. It's a great time while you're there, too, to stock up on the best in spirits, craft beer, domestic beers, wine, and mixers. So we'll see you out there tomorrow night from 6 to 9 for the My Father Cigar event at Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. All right. Our guest in studio, Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl, District 3, also running for AL1. But right now, talking about something that is multifaceted, because, as you pointed out, it's a discussion of fire versus law enforcement. I won't say police, but law enforcement. That's a big difference because, good point, there's never been a county mechanism for fire. That's not been a thing.
The county government was just never set up to do that. Now, what we have, we've most people don't realize, but we changed the ambulance service out there.
Yeah, EMS, yeah.
Yeah, and that happened back, I think, in early December or before that. So it's been several months, and there, to my knowledge, there's been no complaints. Most people don't even know it changed out.
Okay. But on this fire part, there's an issue that even if somebody never has a fire or an emergency that has to have the fire department there, they can see a change in their bill on their insurance because of this ISO rating.
Right. I'm dealing with one now that the ISO rating on a particular house got changed to a 10, and the insurance...
And give us, is it the best, 10's the worst, or what's the...
The best is 1.
1.
The city of Mobile is 1. And if you have what they consider no fire coverage, it's a 10. Well, no fire coverage means that you're 5 miles or more,
okay,
or more away from a fire hydrant.
So 1 is the best, 10 is the worst. That's
correct.
Our scale.
Correct.
Okay.
So I've got an insurance agent that called me, and we've got a house that has got a 10, and we've been researching it, trying to figure out why and where it came from, and come to find out she's 5 miles away from a fire hydrant. So there's not a whole lot you can do with that kind of stuff when you talk about insurance, because insurance is so independent.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. And we'll grab a call here with Ricky in Mobile. I'm going to get you a little closer to that mic, too. But the situation is, even if you don't have a fire, you don't have an issue for the fire department, you will see the fact that this has changed for you, because you'll see it in what you're paying for insurance.
Sure. It's going to cost you one way or the other.
All right. Ricky, you're on with Commissioner Jerry Carl.
Hey, man.
Hey, Ricky.
How did this all come to be? The whole jurisdictional pullback, who allowed this to happen?
Okay, so, I mean, this is... Well, I mean, I would say this. There's two things going on right now. There's what's happening right now with the city having pulled back the jurisdiction, but there's another part of this, Ricky, that I know if you heard, I think we talked to him about it yesterday, Chris Elliott. Senator Chris Elliott's brought a bill up that would give municipalities the ability to do this, right? So this in the state of Alabama, which is weird, too, because growing up here, I kind of thought everybody always did this, but the question I had was, well, when I got to looking at this, it wasn't just like that everywhere else. Most places, you have a municipality that has nothing beyond their city limits, right? So I guess it's an idea, number one, through what's being done, number two, through right now this push of this bill in Montgomery to give cities the ability to not have to cover this extended area, which, oddly enough, just makes us more like other areas in the country. Which, I mean, once again, I was in the kind of situation where I never knew that other people did it differently, because that's the way it was always done around here. So when did it get started? The first time it got started that I can remember, I know there was probably times before Mayor Jones did it, but there were some annexations that went in. Remember during the Jones administration, the big story, even though it was overly simplifying, it was that extreme gerrymander line to grab the Walmart that's out there that is now really, that's Sims right now, right? I mean, that's the area of town that's now Sims. It was this large reach out, well, it's not now, but it was a large reach out to the west to get the Walmart. And I guess what they're saying now is, with Darby Creek being different than the others, because Darby Creek comes in as just a neighborhood with no retail component, but it sounds like if you've got some stores, you got a strip mall or something like that, a better chance of getting in. The city wants to break even on this. Is that fair? If areas of the county are going to come in the city wants to be able at least break even?
That's true. I mean, and again, when the city got to looking at where they're spending their money, they have 190,000 people, residents, that live inside the city, and they have 195,000 residents that lives in this 3 mile band. And the citizens of Mobile are paying for all the services for the people in the 3 mile band, because the folks in the 3 mile band, quote unquote, do not pay for the services.
But they are paying half, right? They're paying half rate on taxes.
Well, yeah, through the shopping.
Yeah,
that's
sales
correct.
Taxes,
and we all in that 3 mile band shop inside the city.
Yeah, that somebody asked me yesterday. I think that was a good question. They said, well, okay, so how many of the people that live in, you know, outside the city spend their sales tax money inside the city? I said, I imagine it's a bunch. I don't have an answer to that. I don't know how many people.
I'm sure it's a very high number.
So, I mean, the argument would be that they're already at least on the sales tax side, fully funding just like anybody inside the city limit?
They are, but from a property tax standpoint, they're paying no property tax. They're getting a fraction of the sales tax in that band.
Yeah, well, who wouldn't want that deal?
Well, there you go.
Okay, can you hold on a second? Sure. Okay, we're gonna run the news break and come right back. I got a couple of calls to get and text as we talk about. We're talking about another couple subjects, but a little bit more on this annexation. Believe me, I have more questions than I do answers on this right now, like many of y'all.